The story of the prodigal has been misunderstood and abused to harm and shame people. In this very special, powerful episode, we give you a profound, eye-opening retelling of this classic biblical story about the prodigal, but this time as a transgender woman. And she certainly is not the one who repents. This will forever change how you view this story.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Free Hearts Podcast. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Welcome, everybody. Connect with us at freedhearts.org. That's where everything that we do has all the information is right there for you. And I'd like to ask you to please, if you haven't already followed or subscribed on whatever platform you get your podcast on, please do that. It really does help us. And we're about to get into some serious stuff here in the coming weeks and some big questions. And now would be a great time to make sure you're subscribed and also to share this podcast with your network and on social media. That would help us a lot. Thank you very much. Well, the story of the prodigal has been misunderstood and abused to shame and harm people. And today we want to give you a profound, eye-opening retelling of this classic biblical story about the prodigal, but this time as a transgender woman. And she is certainly not the one who repents. This will forever change, beloved, this will forever change how you view this story.
Yeah, so if you're responsible for 100 sheep in a field and one of them wanders off, leave those 99 and go retrieve the one. The hero in the story of the good neighbor is a marginalized minority race, not a religious leader. Those are two of Jesus' stories that if we could hear his amazing stories for the first time, if we were each there when he told them, our jaws would drop as we looked at each other in amazement and wonder. Mm. And if we don't do that now because of overfamiliarity.
Yeah, and also from false teaching about those stories.
Well, yes, that's
right.
They make
them not memorable.
Yeah, to make them support the powerful.
Right, right.
Instead of the powerless. Right. And it's like my friend's daughter in high school who said, Mom, I can't stand reading Shakespeare. He writes in cliches. Okay. They weren't cliches when he wrote them. They were brilliant, mind-blowing originals, which is why they become cliches. Mm. And the same is true here, that Jesus' stories are brilliant, mind-blowing originals that we, in our westernized, Christianized culture, have become so used to that we've forgotten how paradigm shifting they really are. Mm. And as you said, because they've been so badly broken to mean something that they don't,
yes.
Manipulated, yeah. That we don't hear them anymore.
Yeah. So what did you do?
Yeah. So
what did you do?
So I took the liberty of rewriting a story for you with a twist to recapture its freshness. And I love this story because it's equal parts inclusion of the outcast, my favorite theme, and a sharp correction to the religious leaders and families to include the outcast, my other favorite theme. And I can hardly think of anyone right now more outcast than the trans community. Mm. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And it seems that as a culture, you know, maybe we're getting our heads around gay and lesbian or maybe even bi, but transgender is under severe attack. And it seems to challenge people at the core because of gender. They're having to look at things they don't want to look at.
Well, I think we saw this in some of the legislative issues where I think the other side on this, or the conservative non-affirming folks out there, feel that they've kind of lost issues or lost the public on LGB issues.
Yeah.
So they've gone after the trans community.
Yeah. With a vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So trans people not only have to navigate their own internal workings of their gender identity, they also have to navigate a culture of people who don't like to be confronted on their own gender identity. So, you know, you who are trans, this is especially for you. Yeah.
This is really good also for all of us just to understand this a bit more again, to see this story in a different way. And sometimes it's not even just the attacks that this community has to deal with on a daily basis. It's basic things like healthcare.
Right.
Government identification cards, yeah. Like travel, like all these kind of things.
Walking safely to their car.
Yeah, absolutely. So, why don't you tell us your rewritten story, your retelling of the prodigal transgender daughter?
Okay.
Here we go.
Mitchell had fought back the growing awareness that deep down, despite all outward appearances, he was really a she. His family, well, everyone, had always called him a he, had always called him Mitchell. But deep down there, where no one could see, he was a she, and she wanted to be called Marissa. But she had no idea how to tell her father, no idea what to do, where to go, no help. So she wrote a note. Dear Dad, I cannot live this way anymore. I've tried for 20 years, and I cannot change this. I know you don't understand. It's taken me this long to understand. But I'm leaving. I am not a man. I'm a woman. And I have to go figure out what that means. I know this hurts you, and I'm sorry, but I have no choice. Say goodbye to Mark for me. He is a good brother. And so she headed off on a journey where no one could follow. She changed her number when she left and never once called her family. In the process, she became Marissa. Time passed. Was it 6 months? 2 years? Marissa hardly knew, but it felt like a lifetime. With a rebirth and a brand new identity. Finally, Marissa decided to reconnect with her family. What possessed her to do it, she didn't know. But she got in the car and began to drive. She had no idea what to expect as she took the familiar roads toward her father's house. How would they receive her? Suddenly seized with fear, she panicked. She pulled over only miles from home. Home. She hadn't said the word home since she left. And she had pushed every thought of home away because she knew they would not accept her there. She had left as Mitchell, and now she's going back as Marissa? How did she expect to go home again? She had no idea what she could possibly say, but she had to try. It was home? What will they do to me? She had to know ahead of time. So she called, her dad picked up, and Marissa dumped out words that made no sense, trying to talk and not listen. Oh, what in the world am I doing? As she spoke, she thought. And then she heard her father's words break through. Yes, come home. I have missed you so. Please, please come home. Somehow, she drove the last miles to the house, so familiar and yet strangely unfamiliar. She pulled in the driveway. Was that her father running out the door to her? Marissa panicked, but with power beyond her, she got out of the car. It occurred to her from out of time that she had never seen her father run. How weird is that? Her father wrapped his arms around her, lifted her off the ground, and hugged her. Then he stopped and looked at her deep into her eyes, taking her in head to toe. I'm so glad you're here. He said over and over, I've missed you terribly. You look great. Tears streamed down his face, something else Marissa had never seen. Neighbors looked out windows, and a few stepped outside to see this father skipping up the steps with joy, arm flung over his newfound daughter, back after all this time. My baby's home, he called back to the neighbor watching from her lawn. I hope you're hungry, Dad said. I picked up some dinner for us after you called. Yes, I am, said Marissa, suddenly realizing how hungry she really was. Dad, where's Mark? He's at work, Dad answered, piling two plates high with food. Here's your dinner. I'll pour the wine. Now you sit down and tell me all about you. They ate and drank and talked long into the night. Finally, they hugged, and Dad said, I am overjoyed to see you. I am so, so glad you came home. That night, Marissa slept in her old bed. Where she used to cry tears of anguish, she now cried tears of joy. The next morning, Mark found his dad in the kitchen making coffee and pancakes. Marissa was still asleep. How long is he staying? Marissa? His dad asked. She's home, Mark. She'll be here for as long as she wants. Dad, his name is Mitchell, Mark said. Mitchell's a guy. How can you let him come into our house like this? He made a fool of you. He walked out of here without a backward glance after causing all kinds of crap for me, my friends laughing at him and at me. And here he parades in high heels, and you're okay with it? What is the matter with you? Son, when Mitchell left like that, I thought I would die. Losing your mother was the worst time in my life. And then to lose Mitch? How can you be okay with that? Sit down with me. Listen, Mitch told me about wanting to be a woman. No, knowing he was a woman. She was a woman. But I couldn't hear it, Mark. It made no sense to me. Then when he left, I was out of my mind. What had I done to my boy being so unwilling to listen that he left? How could I drive him away like that? So I did what I should have done in the very first place. I searched out answers. I tried to understand what this whole transgender thing meant. I don't know why some people feel this way, but they do. It is who they are. And there's nothing that they can do to change it. I've learned a lot since your brother's been gone. I know, Dad. And now you're all enlightened. He suckered you in. I can't believe you're buying his crap. Son, if you had taken this journey with me, you might understand it better. I'm just sorry I didn't try harder to understand before. Mark fairly spat his words out now. Take that journey with you. Mitch finally gets out of here, and I'm finally done listening to all his stupid stuff, and now he's back, and you welcome him. You got dinner for him last night, and you're making him breakfast now. What about me? When did you do that for me? Dad's face fell. Mark, I'm always here for you. Everything I have is yours. I have prayed night and day for Mitch to come back, and now Mitch is back. But Mitch is Marissa. And of course she's welcome in our home. That doesn't change anything about you. Dad, I did everything right. I never took a wrong turn. Why do you do anything for him? What about me? Mark felt like a child, but he couldn't help it. I want to have dinner together. Oh, Mark, you have me. I'm here. We have dinner practically every night. Mark couldn't help the tears now, and his dad pulled him close and held him. Mark, my beloved son, I have always loved you with all my heart. Don't resent Mitch. He was miserable for years. I could never get it, but I get it now. Mitch is finally who he always wanted to be, and she is Marissa, and she's happy. Let her have that. He stroked Mark's head as Mark stood there engulfed in his dad's arms. Mark, you are exactly who you were meant to be, and Marissa is exactly who she should be. I love you both exactly the way you are. I just want you to be proud of me, Dad. Oh, my son, I'm so proud of you. Don't do things to make me proud or to gain my approval. You already have it. Nothing will ever make me prouder of you, my beloved son. You come home too. Enjoy how much I love you.
I want to leave it right there and tell you that next week we're going to get into this a bit deeper and tell you the backstory of this special retelling. And we're going to talk more about what this story does and does not mean, because, beloved, it is not a story about repentance of the prodigal son. That's not what this is about. It is about something much different and much more. Why do we want to tell you this? So you never, ever have to be abused by this story again. You deserve to love and be loved as you are, for who you are. Don't settle for anything less. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.